Amen. I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of James. We'll be looking at several verses, actually in several places of Scripture. But some of the key points are taken out of the letter of James. And I just invite you to join in with that. I want to talk about a song that I was raised with in Sunday school a long, long time ago. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Anybody here know that one? There's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. And then, of course, it expanded out to your ears, what you hear, your mouth. Anyway, what you do, your feet, everything. It just talked about life. But this morning, I want to talk about, oh, be careful, little tongue. It's actually taken from the letter of James and the third chapter, second verse, which says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Let's pray. Above all else, Father, we want to please you with our lives, with what we do, with what we say, with what flows from our heart, with the way we impact people, with what we do, with all that you have given to us as stewards of life. And Father, with our tongue, that small instrument that wields an amazingly powerful punch. This morning, Father, would you by your Spirit teach us how we can be careful, how we can use, how we can mold and shape our influence and our lives with our tongue. Teach us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm actually attacking several different kinds of things that are hard to put together into a series. So this is a non-series series, okay? They're just a lot of little things that I'm trying to hit at. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about forgiveness and how forgiveness is really tough stuff because, you know, if we all look at ourselves, we tend to hold grudges, sometimes for decades. And we have to really explore to see how we're holding that. We're not even aware of it very often. Sometimes it just eats away at us and causes us no small amount of pain and grief. We suffer because we're unable to forgive something. And so very often, the person that you're not able to forgive has long ago forgotten anything about it. They're not even remotely aware, actually, that anything was done that may have caused a need for forgiveness. And so they're just kind of living their life, and you are holding a grudge, and you're suffering for years and years and years. Isn't that the way forgiveness often works? We don't forgive. And it's good for us to look at our lives and look at our relationships and see, are there grudges in there that I need to deal with in some way? Last week, we talked about a very strange thing, and I didn't know how to categorize it, about our thought life. What are the kinds of things that flow through our brain? And how do we grab a hold of it? How can we control it? How can we direct it so that it glorifies God, so that it causes us to grow in a way that pleases Him, so that it can blossom forth in ways that honor and glorify God rather than direct, you know, something that we fight every day of our lives? Because in one way we want to please and honor and follow the Lord and be obedient, and And then there are other things that are just drawing us in all the wrong directions. You know what I'm talking about. Most of us here have a thought life, don't we? Anybody here not? Oh, okay. I knew there was one. But if we could learn how to grasp those thoughts right at the outset and use them, direct them, mold them, shape them, so that they're actually causing you to grow in your love for the Lord and in your obedience to the Lord. What an amazing thing that would be in our lives. And so today, I want to talk about taming the tongue. Now, that's really a tough one because very often our tongue is something that we don't really pay much attention to. We just sort of say things. And I can't even count how many times I'll say something and then half an hour later I'll think, oh man, I wish I had that one back. You know, I wish I hadn't said that. Or I could have said that differently. Oh, that one didn't come out right at all. Anybody ever had that experience? I mean, it happens to me all the time. And very often, you know, when you try to go and correct it, you just make it worse, right? And you start talking in all the wrong directions. You know, in James, the third chapter, we read, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? I think it's because it's so easy for that thought life that we talked about last week to kind of slip out when we're not on guard. And we'll say things that we really think, but we don't really want people to know that we think that way, right? It's a tough one to try to come to grips with. And Scripture says you can't fully tame the tongue like you're domesticating a wild animal, but you can learn to control it. And you can learn how to use it to experience God's blessings and His power in your life. Now, James says that it's impossible to tame the tongue. He said that we're able to learn to keep a tight rein on it, though. Well, his words were like this, and it's in the first chapter, the 26th verse. He says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. Ooh, that's tough. And their religion is worthless. Oh, I guess that's something to think about, isn't it? That's something worthy of considering and maybe something that we should try to get a handle on. So learning to control the tongue isn't an optional pursuit for the Christians. If you're a believer, if you take your faith seriously, if you honestly want to follow the Lord, it's a requirement, at least according to Scripture, if you take that seriously, it's a requirement to learn to tame the tongue. It's a discipline that God takes seriously. And it would be good if we did as well. It's not difficult to see the problems caused by the wrong use of words. You don't have to look far. More than likely, you only have to look as far as your closest relationships. Because it's here that the biggest problems are often caused by words. You know, very often it's around those people that you're most comfortable with. You let your guard down with. And things kind of slip out. And you don't control as you wish that you had. Understand what I mean? It's one of those little things in life that's hard to get a handle on. Wrong words can destroy relationships. Do you know what causes most divorces? It's not infidelity. It's the accumulative effect of the words you speak and the words you fail to speak to your spouse. After a while, The words, or the lack of words, can take their toll in a relationship. And it can make that relationship, even marriage, come to an end. There's a lie that we were all told as children, and you know what it is, don't you? Sticks and stones can break my bones. Thank you. But words will never hurt me. Guess what? Wrong. Words can hurt. Sticks and stones and broken bones only hurt for a while. But words can hurt forever. Now, wrong words can make a bad situation worse. Whenever you continue to speak negative words into a negative situation, you tend to fan the flame of negativity until it gets out of control. Have you ever seen this situation at work? You've got a problem to deal with, maybe a problem person to deal with. Maybe it's your boss. And you begin to discuss it with some of the other workers, but the discussion is never about solutions to the problem. The discussion is only about the problem itself and how big it is and how bad it is and how much you hate the problem and how much you want the problem to change and how people in other jobs don't have this problem. Why do I have to put up with it? And so on. Anybody ever heard that discussion? Yeah. I think most of us have. And the more you complain, the worse the situation gets. Speaking negatively into a negative situation only makes it worse. But if you're willing to take control of your words, you can begin to create change, not only in the circumstances around you, but in your own life and in your own heart. Last week, I quoted Norman Vincent Peale, and he said, change your thoughts, and you'll change your world. There's another principle that we need to keep in mind. Change your words, and you'll change yourself. In James 3, he says, we all stumble, in the second verse, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. A key to overcoming bad habits is to start with your tongue. Start with the words that you say. It's amazing how those words that you say shape what you become and who you are. Another advantage of taking control of your words is that the right words can minister to others. They strengthen others and build them up. Paul tells us in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the 29th verse, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Your words have the power to tear people down or the power to build people up. Your words have the power to make people want to quit or to encourage them to try one more time. It depends on how you use them. Many people think the spiritual gift of prophecy is a negative gift, that prophets speak with anger about everything that is wrong. And a lot of people think the same way about sermons, you know? That sermons really aren't good unless they're negative, unless they're really, you know, hellfire and brimstone cutting things down, right? Do you know what the truth is? Do you know what the Bible says about this? It's surprising. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But the one who prophesies speaks to people, listen, for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Did you get that? Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And this should be the goal of every sermon, every Sunday school lesson and every conversation. Another advantage of taking control of your words is that you give glory to God. David said in Psalm 63:3, "My lips will glorify you." One of the reasons why you exist, okay? One of the reasons why you were born is to glorify God with your words. Now, we're also called to glorify Him with our actions, but we must remember that God puts a high price tag on the things we say. I don't understand why. I just know the scripture makes this very clear. He wants to hear our praise. He wants to hear it from our mouths. That puzzles me. Of course, there's a lot of stuff in scripture that puzzles me. But that is so clear. And just like couples need to remind one another of their love, just like friends need to express appreciation in one another, God wants to hear from His people words of praise and thanksgiving and expressions of love. Today I want to point out three simple things you can practice this week to begin taking control of your tongue. Okay? Here are three areas in which you can begin to hold back your words. First, speak with care and restraint. Speak with care and restraint. Boy, a while ago, a long time ago, I was having lunch with some folks, and we talked about Christian music for some reason. And one person named an artist and said, "He's my absolute favorite. I'm so blessed when I listen to his music." We all said, "Oh, yeah, you know, great stuff." Another person said, "Oh, really? Well, a person in my church was in a 12-step group for overeaters, and that singer was also in this group. Did you know that he's bulimic? He's been binging and purging since he was a teenager." Now, he didn't have to tell us that. For starters, I'd prefer not to hear about binging and purging while I'm trying to eat a hamburger, okay? Secondly, there's a reason why those groups all have the name Anonymous in the title. People's privacy should be respected. Thirdly, blabbing that little bit of inside information didn't build up the group or edify the group or bring glory to Christ. Just because you know something about someone doesn't mean that you have to say it or spell it. Now, if at some time that Christian artist decides to publicly discuss his struggles with food, that's his choice. But until then, that's his business alone, not yours. You may know something about someone, but just because you know it and just because it's true doesn't mean you've got to say it. If what you say doesn't build up others and bring glory to the name of Christ, then you're better off keeping your mouth shut, saying nothing. Solomon said this in Proverbs 17, the 27th verse, "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Before you speak, consider saying nothing at all." There's a concept, isn't it? "Because you don't have to say everything you know." Wow. When you speak, use care and restraint. Secondly, let silence speak your wisdom. Let silence speak your wisdom. Some people believe they know a little bit more about every subject than anybody else. And they believe it's their duty to wax eloquent whenever the opportunity presents itself. Whatever subject comes up in a conversation, whether it's the stock market, computers, criminal justice, football, politics, or religion, they believe they have the first and final word on the matter. And of course, they've got to let you know that, right? He's a self-proclaimed authority on anything and everything. You know people like that, don't you? They've got to make sure you know how much they know. I heard someone say that in just about every group of friends, there is someone like, well, remember a guy named Cliff Clavin? Remember that? Apparently some of you do. Okay. He was in Cheers. No matter what subject came up, he had something to say. Now, if you look at your group of friends and don't see someone like him, maybe you should take a long look at yourself. You know, you may be him. Now, we've got to think about what Solomon said in Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. Oh. Long time ago, I was working at Ward's in their security department. I was a supervisor of a group of guards and security folk who would walk the floors of the retail store and look for shoplifters. There never was a shortage of shoplifters. Somehow, our society always provided people for us. Well, I was asked to set up an alarm system for the store that would provide security for the warehouse at night. I'd worked security for a lot of years, and so putting together a security system wasn't a hard thing for me to do. We had good success with the system that we put into a section of our warehouse on University Avenue in St. Paul. And one day I was invited to come to a meeting in Kansas City. So I went to the meeting and found that they were going to discuss security systems for the trucking warehouses in the central part of the country. I knew that I was out of my league. I mean, I didn't. Come on. So I went to the meeting, and I just said things like, uh-huh, sounds good. Oh, that should work just fine. I said absolutely nothing of any substance, because I knew that if I did, they would learn quickly just how clueless I was about the type of systems that they were talking about. You know, really state-of-the-art. A few days after getting home, I got a call from the Chicago office telling me they had decided I was the man to help design and supervise putting in the new systems at our trucking facilities in the central part of the United States, the whole central third of the United States. The VP for loss management, Montag, I'll never forget his name, told me how impressed he was with my knowledge of the systems, and I was obviously the one who should take this prospect up. Oh, I was dumbfounded. The only reason I was now seen as the company expert on these systems was because I had said absolutely nothing of any substance in the meetings. And they took my silence to be wisdom. It actually happened. Now, as it turned out, the upgrade to the warehouses never took place, so I was off the hook. But I learned a valuable lesson. Silence is not only golden, it's oftentimes seen as wisdom. You don't have to say everything you think. Before you speak, keep this principle in mind. Silence looks like knowledge. Speak only when you can actually contribute. So remember, think first. Speak second. Let your silence be wisdom. Thirdly, speak toward wholeness. Struggling how to say this. Speak toward wholeness. Always speak toward wholeness. If anything you have on your mind is not speaking toward wholeness, scrap it. Forget it. Don't say it. It ain't worth the breath that you breathe to spill it out. Now, words are far more powerful than you may think. They have the power to build up and to tear down. And when you use words, when you talk, always seek to use that greatest tool you have in your personal arsenal to build up and heal. If you find yourself using words to tear down and destroy, stop. The most common destructive use of words is gossip. So what is gossip? Huh? Gossip is anything negative you say about someone before you have brought it to that person face to face and let that person respond personally to you. The juiciest kind of gossip is things that you hear about people and you start spreading it around, but you've never really gone to that person and asked them about it face to face. It feels good to have interesting things to say about people. Very often we make ourselves feel bigger and more powerful by saying something negative about someone else. If we can bring someone else down a notch or two, we feel better about ourselves, don't we? Somehow we feel a little bit taller if we can bring other people around us down. The problem with repeating gossip is that there's a better than even chance that what you heard isn't completely true. Gossip tends to get embellished as it's passed from person to person. And you know what I'm talking about. The subject of gossip is one that we don't take seriously enough. We say things like, I'm going to go visit so-and-so and catch up on the latest gossip. We say it like there's nothing wrong with doing that. And to a certain extent, catching up on gossip is just a figure of speech, but it's all too often an accurate description of the way we take conversations. We need to listen. We need to begin to take gossip seriously. Do you know what Proverbs has to say about gossip? Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man stirs up discussion, and a gossip separates close friends. Now, there's something new to think about. Did it ever occur to you that when you talk about someone negatively, God considers that action to be, listen, perverted? Perverted. It may seem hard to believe, but that's what the Bible says. And in my humble opinion, the truer it is and the juicier it is, the more despicable it is to God when you repeat it. God would much rather you keep quiet about it. Solomon said in Proverbs 17:9, he who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Repeating everything you hear destroys friendship. And this is why you need to think before you speak and consider whether you should say anything at all. Are you speaking toward wholeness? Or are you speaking toward brokenness? What you say is important enough to think about that before you say anything at all. Will your words bring healing and wholeness? Or are they just meant to make you feel good about your own self? Even if it's destructive, use your words to bring wholeness and healing. And if you find that you are speaking words that bring destruction, stop. Just stop. Don't say anything at all. You'll know when your words bring healing and wholeness and when they destroy and bring pain. You know what I'm talking about. God classifies gossip in the same category of sin as murder and prostitution. Did you know that? I don't want to be anywhere near that neighborhood. just not worth it. These three steps will get you started in taking control of your words. And when you take control of your words, you're able to take control of other areas of your life. As James said in James 3:2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. This week, try putting these three steps into practice. Speak with care and restraint. Let silence speak your wisdom. Always speak toward wholeness. Simple, right? Do you know what this comes down to? Speaking less. The secret to taking control of your words is to use fewer of them. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Just like changing your thoughts can change your world, changing your words can change yourself. And it can change the way God sees you.